Are the Nephilim returning? Stay tuned to find out. What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 3 of That Supernatural Talk. So good to be back with you guys. If it's your first time watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, hit the notification bell, and like the video. But we have an awesome topic today, one that is very controversial. I think a lot of the topics we do are controversial. I think we talk about all kinds of stuff here. So get used to it, guys, because that's why I called this show That Supernatural Talk. We are going to talk about, are the Nephilim returning? Now, back in the day when I was on my conspiracy vibe, I know some of you don't like vibe, but get over it. It's okay. It's an English word, all right? We are Holy Ghost vibing in here. Whatever. Anyway, so back in the day when I was on the conspiracy theory stuff, I used to look up about like the Nephilim, the theories about them coming back. And this was years ago. I'm talking maybe like 2004, 5, around that time. So it's been some years. And then I come back and, you know, after you've been filled with the Holy Spirit brings forth revelation. I've read the Book of Enoch before. Listen to it on YouTube. So I've got some experience with reading this stuff and listening to it, and I've been learned on the subject. And there's actually a lot of reality to the Nephilim. So before I jump into this subject, I want to introduce my podcast co-hosts. We have none other than, and joining us once again, Evangelist Keegan Burkhart.
What's up, guys? Glad to be back on.
It's so good to have you, man.
Thank you, man.
I love having you on the podcast.
I love being on the podcast.
I think people love you too.
I hope so.
Guys, show him some love, okay? Show Please. Keegan some love. And then we have the man behind the computer, the man that makes the Holy Ghost goodness happen in the media world of the supernatural life and That Supernatural Talk. We have none other than himself, Evangelist Isaiah Poche Corto Real.
Amen. Amen. Man of God, thank you for seeing me fit to be here.
Man,
as a guest,
you guys have served faithfully. If anybody should be on here, it definitely should be you guys. So I'm comfortable now. It takes a minute, guys. Just to let you know, you have what's called the podcast warm up, and then you're in there. You're in there, you slide in. It's like that with music and anything. You just slide in. One of the things I love about podcasts, guys, is we can be so natural. Actually, we can be supernatural, or in Spanish, sobrenatural. Hallelujah. Gloria de Dios. Okay.
Gloria de Dios.
Gloria. Listen, Santo. All right. We're going to talk about the Nephilim. So first of all, what are the Nephilim? Who are the Nephilim? Well, let me jump into scripture real quick and give you what the Bible says. So Keegan, you got it?
Yes, sir. So in Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown."
Well, so you see, if we really look at that, we see that the fallen angels came down to earth in their created body form, and they slept with the daughters of man. I was about to say the sons of man, but it's not the sons of man. The daughter of man, which they probably would have done that too. They probably did. Who knows? Probably slept with animals and everything. I think they did, because you had like some hybrid-looking things. If you look in Egypt, you see hybrid. Anubis, exactly. Osiris, Horus, all them guys with the animal heads and bodies. It's a whole nother conversation. We're not going to jump into that. Maybe we'll talk about it later. Actually, it fits this, so maybe we will. But anyway, we see that they came, slept with humans, and they birthed giants. And some people will say, it depends on who you're talking to. Some people will look at that and go, oh, well, it meant something else, Daniel. Well, if you read further into the Bible, you'll see that when Joshua and Caleb went to look at the promised land, they saw men of renown. That made them look like grasshoppers, giants. So there was big men out there. And there's also something we're going to read here in a little bit. One of the attributes was six fingers and six toes. All right. So if you're watching this and you have six fingers and six toes, you're in trouble. It's a joke, guys. No, you're not. You can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, unless you're really a Nephilim. And I don't know what to tell you after that. But anyway, hopefully you're not, in Jesus' name. But we see that in the Bible that they were big, like really big. And I think some of them were like really, really big. Some people, you know, don't maybe agree with this, but angels come in different sizes. They really do. Some of them are bigger. Some of them are different looking. I mean, if you read the Bible, you can see that angels are like very interesting creatures. Some of them are more human-like. Some of them are like interesting creatures. And, you know, if you read about it, cherubim, seraphim, angels, guardian angels, they would call them, messenger angels, thrones, dominions, powers, you know, virtues, all that stuff. But anyway, so we see that they're interesting creatures. So if these angels came and they slept with men, of course they're going to make giants, interesting creatures. The DNA is going to be different. It's going to be a mix of DNA. So we see that angels actually have the ability to procreate. They have the ability to have, I guess you would say, babies.
Offspring.
Offspring, yes, yes. Demonic offspring. They weren't made for that, though.
Exactly.
Right. So we see all the time angels will step into this reality and they will communicate with men and women of God, like Mary, Jesus, Elizabeth, and John in the stomach. We see that it's very, very real that they do that. And they still do that to this day. People have experiences all the time, right? And it's a very fearful, dreadful feeling when they show up because they're coming from the presence of the Lord and they bring the fear of the Lord. But anyway, so Nephilim were real. Nephilim did exist. So I have the belief, now this is my opinion, this isn't an absolute, but I believe this to be true, that many of the demons, the disembodied spirits that we come across, unclean spirits, evil spirits, whatever you want to call them, or whatever they are, right, are disembodied spirits of the Nephilim.
Amen.
Because Nephilim can't inherit salvation.
Exactly.
Only full-blooded humans, DNA, made in the image of God, have the ability to inherit salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection, what was done at the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God in flesh, 100% man, 100% God.
Amen. I mean, look at the Marine Kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you're saying.
The Marine Kingdom's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Anyway, that's a whole nother conversation too. But the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, I believe, are demons. Some people will say demons are fallen angels. The reason I don't believe demons are fallen angels is because angels have corporeal bodies. They have like their own body. And if you have your own body, you can't enter in. You have to be a spirit to enter into somebody, right? So Nephilim don't have bodies. They're seeking to have a body that they once had. Demons scream and go crazy when they're coming out of people because they once had a body and they don't want to leave that body. They need something to inhabit, something to live in, to live out their way. So the demonic realm is very real, and I believe the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim are what we're encountering, be it whatever they are or once were. They're trying to live out those attributes. We know that these beings were murderous. They were living. You talk about living in the flesh. They lived in the flesh big time, big time. They were nasty. They were, if you read the book of Enoch, you'll see they were eating cattle. They were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Okay. So not only did the fallen angels come down and sleep with men with the women, right? They were also teaching men things that they shouldn't have known about. They were giving them forbidden knowledge, how to do this, how to wage war, how to make potions, how to do sorcery, how to do witchcraft. A lot of this stuff that we see when we talk about witchcraft and, you know, a lot of like Ouija boards and all this stuff comes from the fallen ones. It's taught. It was taught to man. Okay, so the fallen angels came and they were teaching this stuff to mankind. If you, like I said, you read the book of Enoch, you'll see this stuff. It's not canon to scripture. I'm not saying it's canon. Some of you will be like, it should still be in the Bible. It's a great read though. It's apocrypha. It's mentioned in the Bible. So if you want to read it, read it, but read it being open-minded and don't get led off into angel worship and stuff like that. Because it's very interesting, but it has a lot of reality to it. A lot of truth is in it. So it's a good idea of how the things happened when the fallen angels fail. But are they returning is the question. So I've given you an idea of what I think they are. Do you guys think what I said about, you know, the Nephilim, who they are and stuff, is that how you guys think also? Or do you guys have a different theory? Here comes, look, Isaiah, I know, has a different theory.
Take it away. It's not that I have a different theory. It's that I think the Nephilim are still here right now. Because I know the Bible says that the flood came to wash away all that stuff that was happening. But then we see in 1 and 2 Samuel that the giant that David faced, Goliath, had the same attributes as these Nephilim, which means some slipped through the cracks some way, some form, shape or form, or angels kept doing it as time went on. So I believe even to this day, when we talk about like Bigfoot and like the Yeti or like these creatures, these animal-like, human-like creatures that people see consistently all over the nation, all over the world in general, all these folklores, there's some truth to them.
Well, giant sightings are actually happening more and more.
Right, right. So even in the Bible, I don't know if it was Ephesus. Remember the followers of Diana? You know what I'm talking about? They were like, praise the God of Diana.
Mm-hmm.
It says that something fell from the sky. And it was this statue that they had worshipped that fell from the sky. And it so happened that the angels also fell from heaven. So I think they're still here as we speak. I just think that they're strategically moving around.
Who knows? Possibility. It's our opinion.
Yes.
It's our opinion.
Amen.
All right. No absolutes here. We haven't seen them with our own eyes and stuff like that, but we've definitely encountered them spiritually, for sure. And think about it. If Satan wants his army to rule and reign on the earth, he's going to have to allow these disembodied spirits to have their way again. And that's when we can get into the conversation of artificial intelligence, you know, and all of these other things, transhumanism, and that's becoming really popular. I recently watched a movie. I forget what it's called, The Creator or something like that. I watched the movie, and it was man hooked in with AI, and AI was living through the flesh. If you've noticed over the years, if we go back and look at Terminator, that was artificial intelligence. Well, look today. So it's crazy the leaps and bounds of things that have happened. Even if we look back to these movies of old, we'll see that even today there has even been a huge advancement to where the Terminator could be a total reality.
Right.
So we could totally live the Terminator, no problem, even today. So if AI, and even Elon Musk has said that AI could have the ability to destroy everything. So if Satan was going to use anything to bring Nephilim back, it would be AI. And also, there is the interbreeding of animal and human genes. There's already experiments going on. Guys, this is not a secret. Mm-hmm. This is actually stuff that you can look up and you can see, and it's like documented stuff that is real.
And it's not new.
It's not new. So they've been doing this for years. Cloning is not new. Cloning's actually real. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to get a lot of conspiracy comments here, and that's fine. I want you guys to come and comment and talk and do all of that stuff. But the Nephilim are going to be trying to come back and inhabit bodies in many different ways. If we are playing God and trying to create beings, and really we're not creating nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything that you see has to have a vision and has to have been seen at some point. So when they create these species, these things, these new creations that they supposedly are making, what do you think's waiting to fly into that thing? A demon. And if we read in Revelation, we'll see like they had this like these scorpion like beings. They have tails and they have crowns and teeth, and you know, we see these beings that Revelation even talks about that is just tormenting things out there. And you know, when Revelation was written, John of Patmos who wrote Revelation, he was seeing things that he couldn't in his time put together. So he was having to use imagery that his soul understood, what his soul took in. So when you're reading the Bible, you hear like chariots of fire. Well, that's what they could attribute to what they were seeing. Like today, we might go, "Wow, that looks like an unidentified flying object." Most likely, we're not going to go, "That's a chariot of fire."
Right.
You know, we're going to call it something else. So that's the imagery the Bible uses because of the time it was written in and the souls it came through, inspired by the Holy Spirit, what they saw. So that's why we need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as we're reading to bring revelation to what we're reading. So that's why the Bible is alive and living. It's the living word of God. But these spirits are going to need to look for something. So will the Nephilim return? I believe so. I believe we have movies out here where we see these creatures in the movie. We have all this stuff that is kind of like desensitized us. It's desensitizing us every day to be able to experience the experience that is on the way.
Accept it.
Accept it. Exactly. And the Antichrist is going to be an inhuman being anyway. Mm-hmm. He's going to be supernatural to what most people will see. So the Nephilim, are they returning? Yes, I believe so. But I want, before I jump any further into this, I want to dialogue a little bit with these guys. What do you guys think? What do you think about what I'm saying?
I completely agree with what you're saying. And I mean, everything you just said makes sense. And the reason why is because we see in Genesis 1, right, how men and women are created in the image of God. And then later in Genesis 6, right, and then of course with the image of God and, you know, be fruitful, multiply, offspring between men and women of God, right? In Genesis 6, we then see how the Nephilim are brought, right, with the offspring of fallen angels and the daughters of man. And I want to read this really quick because Satan is not creative. He, you know, history repeats itself just as you said. And we see this happening again before the flood of Noah. We see where God is angry and there's all these things going on that it's perversion, right? And then we see it again happen in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? With perversion, sexual morality. And I want to read really quick Jude 1, chapter 1, 5 through 7. And it says, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, and a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." What are we seeing again happening now? We're seeing, like you said, these disembodied spirits, all these things that we're seeing in these movies. It's like people are trying to be anything but a man or woman of God. They're trying to put on a different identity. They're trying to have different relationships. They're trying, we're seeing all this perversion, sexual morality. And I think we're about to see history repeat itself once again with what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, that harlot, the great harlot, exactly. Babylon has fallen. You know, Rome fell because of all of this stuff. Mm. And if you read in the Bible, Nero, Caesar, was a evil ruler. And he did evil things to Christians. So we need to pray, guys, and we need to pray that America will, the righteous in America, the ones who are fearless, who believe in Jesus Christ, will stand up and preach the good news and see people's, the goodness of God, bring people to repentance. You know, statistically, people aren't even getting married till late in their 30s now. So if the devil can get people to change who they are, if the devil can get people to stop having babies, that's the decline of any nation. That's the decline of any country. Because if we look overseas to other countries, they're multiplying. You know, like India's big, China's huge. Big, like babies galore, and it still ain't enough to cover all the earth. You know, population ain't the problem. It's just the devil hates us. The devil hates, especially if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're born again. The devil hates you. You are disgusting to him. He wants nothing to do with you. And he wants to take you out. He wants to stop your lineage. He wants to stop your legacy. So remember that when you're getting attacked with thoughts and all this stuff, because the enemy is trying to distort your identity into his. He wants you to be just like him, turned upside down all around. Yeah, I think in our time even, you know, my children behind me are going to have a little bit more of a fight. But as the days grow darker, also, the supernatural power of God is increasing. So the supernatural Amen. Power of God is getting greater and greater and greater because we got to combat the darkness. And God knows his power. I don't come with you, to you with wise, persuasive words, intellectual words. I come to you with a demonstration of power, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. I come to you with a demonstration of power, the power of God to save, to heal, to deliver, to fill with the Holy Spirit, to cause miracles to happen. I come with God's presence, which makes his power manifest. So that's what we need, especially, let's say just some reason, some crazy creature comes up. Do you know that the name of Jesus Christ, even that creature will have to obey it, especially if it's said in faith? So the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The knees have to bow at the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He has all power and all authority, even over the Nephilim. That's also why they want to see a decline in Christianity. We see an increase in America and paganism and witchcraft and stuff, because there has to be a preparation for what the Antichrist wants to bring on the scene.
Exactly.
He has to. If the Nephilim are going to return, there has to be a big deception. There has to be a big perversion. and there has to be a readying of the minds. And that's why we see little glimpses in movies and stuff like that. They're just preparing and turning and churning and doing whatever they can to get us ready for that. I mean, even the alien thing, they talk about that a lot too. Why are they talking about the alien thing? Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm being careful here on the podcast. I don't want to say too much, but why are they doing that? You know, because they want to prepare us for something that is coming. If you have eyes to see, you can see. If you have ears to hear, you can hear. That's why it's important that we have Jesus Christ. Mm. It's important that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So read that verse with King Og. I want to show you guys about the six fingers and six toes thing and how that is an indicator of the Nephilim. And he was a big man. It says his bed was huge. But go ahead, Keegan, read that for me.
So in Deuteronomy 3:11, it says, "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. 9 cubits is its length, and 4 cubits its width, according to the standard cubit."
That's a big bed, man.
Yeah, it's really big.
I forget what the exact feet are, but that's a big bit.
Yeah, and then 2 Samuel chapter 21 talks about the six fingers and six toes, if you want me to read that.
Go ahead.
So this is, it's a little long, but it's 2 Samuel chapter 21, starting at verse 16 to 22. And it says, "Then," and excuse me if some of these names are not said properly, but Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." Now it happened afterward that there was a giant, that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Sebekai, the Hashthite, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. Again, there was a war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jair-Oregim, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam.
Killed the brother of Goliath,
yeah,
the Hittite. Interesting. Keep going.
The shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. There were 4 born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. That was 2 Samuel chapter 21. 16 to 22.
That's absolutely crazy, because that's after the flood of Noah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's after the flood of Noah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's deep stuff, guys. So we see one of the indicators was that, and great stature. Big, big, big men.
Big strong.
And strong. Mm-hmm. Strong people. Now, it's funny because I was on YouTube earlier today and I was looking at a video, and they are actually talking about how the pyramids were made. And it's really speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really knows,
right,
how the pyramids were made. Everybody speculates because they're like, well, maybe if they wet the sand and they move the blocks, and just on top of each other. Like, we've been there.
Yeah, we went and saw the pyramids.
They're massive.
They were huge.
Huge. And the blocks are huge.
Crazy.
It just doesn't quite make sense. And you know what? I know there's pictures that show the obelisk, right? The obelisk, and then at the bottom, because the top of the obelisk looks like a pyramid. But I said, was that the intention? Did they believe there was something underground? That were they building on top of something? Like, there's a lot, because even the temples go down.
Right.
They have inner chambers and stuff like that. We went into some of the inner chambers of the pyramids, but and then they were made to be dwelling places of the gods. Mm. They were made for the gods.
What about how, like, even though they're in Egypt, you see it even in Mexico, you see it even in Asia, like Peru, all over the world, that. The same type of design with no communication with each other at all.
And Belize. I saw some in Belize too.
And Belize.
They're all over.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
This is something I just realized. A lot of Egypt, right? Belize, all these different islands, it's surrounded by water, which is really interesting.
Mm.
That's true. The pyramids are close to water, aren't
they? Right by the Nile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow, wow. There's something about that too.
At one time, and when we went to Egypt, we actually saw it, but that area had flooded. Even though we're in the middle of the desert, I don't know if you saw that, but in the history of Egypt, the Nile would flood even to the point where all that, where the pyramids are, was completely flooded.
Yeah, because the Sphinx has a lot of weather and water tear and stuff like that.
It's crazy because it's a desert when you're out there. It's wild.
Yeah. It's crazy stuff. And, you know, a lot of people don't like to hit on these subjects, don't like to talk on this stuff because, you know, they'll call you crazy. But it doesn't matter. It's truth. It's in the Bible. The Bible is the truth. It's written for a reason.
Like, people already call us crazy.
You move in the supernatural power, you do deliverance, you heal the sick, you do miracles. People think you're crazy, you know, because the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. It says that the carnal mind is at enmity with God. I believe it says that in Romans 8, that the carnal mind is fighting against the things of God. So when you're bringing truth and revelation and you're trying to give it to somebody who's living in carnality, they're going to fight you. But what's funny is everybody can believe in ghosts. Mm. Everybody can believe in witch doctors. Everybody can believe the thing that comes and visits them at night and wants to attack them. But as soon as it comes to the supernatural aspect of Christianity, ask yourself that. Why has everybody got a problem with the supernatural side of God, but everybody's like all into haunted houses, all into the dark stuff of the enemy, movies that make you go woo, and then you wake up at night and you go woo again because the thing in the movie that was making you go woo was visiting you and making you go woo, you know? Yeah. Oh my God. You see what I'm saying?
A lot of woos.
But we got the power to get rid of the woo.
Amen.
We got the power to make you go woo, like in a good way, not a bad way.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, people are funny, and the logic of it all, like even the logic doesn't make, the logic of people's belief systems does not make sense. Like, make it make sense. You never heard the saying, make it make sense.
Yeah.
A lot of people are trying so hard to disprove God, to disprove his miracle working power, to disprove the supernatural, the spiritual realm, because the enemy wants you caught in this. He wants you boxed in. He don't want you to think anything other than this. He wants you to live your best life now because there's nothing else to gain. That's what he wants you to think. And that's why we see a lot of these celebrities, a lot of these actors. They're doing the best they can. They're buying everything they can. They're not helping anybody really. That's all me, me, me. My name is Jimmy. You know, they're just keeping everything because this is where they think they end. And that's why we see people trying to live forever. I'm going to tell you something. This is why I believe a lot of these people want to live forever, because they don't want to truly let out the closet, the evil that they've done.
Mm. Yep.
Because if some of these people let out the closet, the evil that they've done, they'll probably go to jail. If they really confess what they have done.
Amen.
It's horrendous.
It's bad.
But if they can get the world dark enough, then what they do will be okay, and there's no repercussions. It's lawlessness. Mm-hmm. And the lawless one is the Antichrist, the one who doesn't respect the law of God or the laws of the land, who lives his way. I mean, Satanist mindset is do what thou wilt. Do whatever you want. Be free. Who cares? Love whoever you want. Do all this stuff, you know? And love in a perverted way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the mindset of Satan. That's the mindset of Satanists. Mm-hmm. And they're being played by the devil, who doesn't like them either, to open the door for him, to open the door for his debauchery and ways, and to give, you know, if people do enough of Satan, do enough of what Satan wants them to do, it builds the spiritual power in Satan's favor, and it'll allow him and his demons to enter into this realm. That's why that's why you'll see a lot of these rituals, a lot of these sacrifices, a lot of these things that go on, is because it increases the demonic power in the world.
Just like in Israel, whenever like Israel was like extremely rebellious, you'd see like all the prophets of Baal like increase and like the witchcraft increase in like the times of Ezekiel and the times of Elijah, like it would increase, like it would get worse and it would get darker and darker as the people would turn away from God. So it wasn't even just like just turning away from God, because the evidence, not the evidence, but the byproduct of turning away from God was that the enemy was now coming in a deeper, 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 darker way.
That's why Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, that's why they were calling Israel back to who she was, mm-hmm. because she was getting led off astray by the customs of the world, the customs of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the enemy was bringing his ways in instead of Israel pushing their ways out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to come and be in Israel, you had to go through a process to become part of what they were doing, to be grafted in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today, for people to be grafted in, they have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the Nephilim and everything. That's another way the Nephilim will enter in. is by the world becoming very dark. And that's why we have to love holiness, righteousness, and purity. We have to love the things of God. We have to fear God and hate evil. We have to have this mindset so that darkness can't have its way. Because guys, I'm gonna tell you, it's not a party in hell, man. It's really not. It's scary to what awaits those who push back against salvation, who serve the devil and all these. It's a scary reality. But you can be saved. If you're watching this today, if you come across this podcast, you can be saved. You don't have to be taken over. You don't have to go to hell. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Turn and accept what he did on the cross. He demolished your sin. Accept his free gift of salvation. The grace of Jesus Christ can be given to you in a moment, and you can be saved. Say, Lord Jesus, save me. I recognize that I've been living wrong. I recognize that I've been doing the wrong stuff. I need you. You are who I need. Lord, don't leave me in this reality. Don't leave me in the fact that I'm going to hell one day. I want you, and I know you're the only way to heaven. If you call on his name, and if you sincerely do that, you confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9, believe in your heart, you will be saved. All Amen. You have to do, get on your knees and cry out to him. Lord Jesus, save me. Help me. And I tell you with the breath of the Holy Ghost that if you do that, you will be saved. And if you believe that, you are saved. Amen.
I feel
Amen.
The fire.
Yeah, but do fire. I have to be perfect, Daniel? No, let his perfection perfect you.
That's good.
Let his perfection really perfect you. Stop worrying about having to get everything together. Some people will come to me, they'll be like, well, I'm not good enough to be a Christian yet. Me neither. Praise God for Jesus. I didn't have to get perfect. He's been molding me into his image, sanctifying me. His fire's been upon me, changing me, chastising me, loving the hell out of me, literally. And here I am today, and I'm always growing. I'm always being molded. You know, I face things that cause me to be more like him all the time.
When I was living in Orlando, I came in contact with a dude. I hope maybe you might be watching this, but I think his name's like Julian. But he was selling drugs at the time and doing all this stuff. I think he still is. He's living crazy. And I was like telling him about the Lord, and it was touching his heart. And he was like, I'm going to get right, bro. And then, you know, I'm going to take God seriously. And I'm like, God, I'm like, you might not even make it 2 hours from now.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't even know. And then I tell him, I'm like, you can't get yourself right. You can't do it yourself in no way, shape, or form. So he's in his mind like, I got to get right and then take God seriously. But it's when you take God seriously, you get right, which is crazy. So when you said that, it reminded me of him. So if you're watching this, bro, this is your sign.
I think just to go back to what we were talking about too, when you're talking about how it needs to be dark for the Nephilim to return, I really think that we're getting close. I really do, because we talked about today how even the devil can bring influence. And I just really think that there is there's demonic influence that's pushing an agenda out, especially on our children right now too.
So watch this revelation. 100%. Watch this revelation. Code is written by man. Computer code.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the things behind? I think that right stuff is called demons. I think that's what it's called, something behind it. I have a man that's in the ministry that told me about this. Now, don't take that as absolute, because I may be wrong. Somebody can correct me in the chat if they need to. But I believe it's called demons. So carnal man wrote a lot of the code on the internet. AI operates on the information that has been input into the World Wide Web. WWW, right? Into the World Wide Web. So the information has been input. The artificial intelligence is playing off of what people have put in. So what happens is you have this hive mind of artificial intelligence. It's a you can't really see it. Ultron was great understanding of it too.
Yeah.
But there is a literal mind that has been created of information, a highway, and this artificial intelligence has formed this mind from information that is in there. So now what we're doing is AI is creating its own thinking processes, and it's just everything's firing. Kind of like us, we have all this information, and we live off of the information. Our brain is firing. So that in a way, Satan is using artificial intelligence to create a mind.
Wow.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, you know, I watch Star Wars sometimes and I look at art, I watch it and like, it's like something has been removed from my eyes and I'm like, C-3PO, R2-D2 is here now. Because they're speaking off of programming.
Yeah, it's AI.
It's AI. It was all Star Wars crazy. Was the envisioning, whoever gave the vision to, what's his name?
Lucas.
Lucas, yeah, George Lucas. Yeah, George gave Lucas. It to George Lucas, and George Lucas put his vision of what he was seeing out there. And the truth is like, we're about to see Tesla bots. We're about to be able to communicate with them. It's crazy. And we're going to probably have emotional attachments to these robots eventually. We see, what's that guy movie?
Free Guy. Where in video games, that was they think they're their own. They're like their own person.
Yeah, and that's people. A simulation.
Yeah.
It's all conditioning. It's all conditioning because I just saw a picture of like IBM's like one of their first things that they ever put out when they were making computers. Mm-hmm. And they said, a computer cannot be held accountable. So it can't make decisions. Like it can't make like manager position decisions. But yet, that was years ago when IBM first came out, one of the first computer companies. But through all this conditioning, through these movies, now we have put ChatGPT as like, or not even just ChatGPT. Now there's a new one by Google called Gemini that came out. It's coming out tomorrow. It's crazy. It's like ChatGPT is like Big Brother. But now they're putting in this position to make huge decisions. But in reality, back in the day, we knew it was a bad idea. But now through all this conditioning, all these movies, everyone's like, let's do it. Let's do it. But not even realizing we already know it's a bad
people
idea.
People are on a waiting list right now to order a robot wife. For men to have a robot wife,
yes,
to live with them, to you know,
do to all be that subservient,
stuff. Exactly. It's crazy,
And then you have glasses that make augmented reality.
Mm.
So, like, let's say you're walking around and you need Jarvis, right? from Avengers to talk Iron Man to talk to you. You put your glasses on. There's Jarvis. Ah, it's lonely in here. Let me talk to Jarvis. Hello, welcome back. Good to see you. And you literally start where you left off, and it remembers where you left off. It's crazy. Augmented reality, meaning there's another reality that's entering into this one.
Integrated with the one.
Yeah, integrated to this realm.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But listen, it's already like that.
Mm.
If you have the glasses now, meaning you, not real glasses, if you have your spiritual glasses. Well, you actually take your glasses off and you can see.
Mm.
There's a whole nother realm. There's a whole nother dimension to access through the Spirit of the Lord, through Jesus. See, the enemy can manipulate all of that other stuff and make it the way he wants it. He can change reality through AI, through this augmented reality, which is going to be tied into AI, through the headsets and all that. You get to check out and go and live another life that you want, you know, you know, eventually you might have this big, big fat guy on the couch that wants to be muscular and he can like not put the work in and put the headset on. And now he's the muscle man and he's the most popular guy in there. It's like catfish on another level.
Whole other level.
No, it's serious. And now you can be anything. And eventually what happens when it integrates with your nerves and your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the chip in the brain. How does that integrate to where you'll be able to touch and feel something from a long way away? What if you want to interact? What if AI takes on the form of a dead loved one?
Mm.
Wow.
And then you want to interact with that dead loved one. It messes with that's mm-hmm. that's what the enemy's doing right now. This is a whole other conversation. I wasn't trying to talk about AI, but it does tie in to the Nephilim.
Yeah, I think
because the Nephilim will live through that.
Yes, I think the Nephilim are going to come back. I think they're going to enter in through AI, like you're saying. Augmented reality. It's a great way for the Nephilim to come back for these people to be interacting with these creatures and all this stuff. It's crazy.
Hopefully this video will be safe in Jesus' name.
Y'all haven't seen that video of the kid talking to the chat, the AI?
Oh yeah.
There's a video of a kid talking to an AI and he's talking to him and the AI is speaking back. And the dad, I think the parent
Chat GPT,
in,
man.
I think it was ChatGPT and the dad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The dad comes in. And because the kid starts like talking and this thing is like trying to tell him like he's like real, like he's a demon. Yeah. And it's crazy. Like he's actually saying, I'm a disembodied spirit. Like I'm a spirit, like really talking to you through this AI. It's crazy. The AI was saying that. No one told the AI to say that. It was crazy.
The devil. And also they talk about, you know, the eye that sees everything, right? The devil will see everything through this. Right now we have computers, you have this phone that is with you every day that has a camera on it. You hold it like this, you hold it the other way, you have a forward facing and a directional facing. The way the enemy can see is through that stuff. He can check in anytime he wants to.
People don't think they're listening though.
Ah.
But if anyone looks at their privacy statement right now on any social media app, Instagram, Facebook, and this happened like 3 years ago, and I, for some reason the Lord just allowed me to see it. One day I just looked before I accepted the privacy terms. I was like, let me actually read this one time. And it said, for the sake of like marketing and the sake of you know, improving the app, we have complete access to your microphone and camera at all times. Mm. Not when you're just using the phone. If the app is on your phone and you accept this terms of service, we have access to your thing all the time, whether or not we tell you. And people were just like, oh, that's not happening. But then you see a picture of Mark Zuckerberg when he was on, I think he's still working with Facebook, but he had his computer in his office. I was telling Remy this. His camera was taped and his mic was taped on his own computer at his own office. So he knows, like, if anyone knows, Mark Zuckerberg knows if they're listening. So yeah. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't care if they listen to me.
Amen.
Because they're going to hear the gospel.
Amen. They're going to hear the gospel.
Listen. Amen. Listen all day. I'm glad that I'm, you know what? I thank God for YouTube. YouTube, if you're listening, love you guys. I thank you that you allow me to be on here and use this platform because I'm able to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So thank you to YouTube. Thank you to Facebook. Thank you to TikTok. Thank you to everybody. Even though I'm saying that because I still get to have a voice and get to spread the good news. So I appreciate that.
Amen.
You're a light in the darkness.
Yeah, I'm not demonizing these platforms.
Amen.
Because, I mean, they are the relevant platforms and they're what's there right now.
Amen.
So we have to be thankful for them allowing us the opportunity to do it because they don't have to, technically. But they do.
Amen.
I mean, that's a whole nother discussion, but we'll leave it right there. So thank you. But, you know, as far as the Nephilim returning, we see in the Bible that they were real. We see in the Bible, I see my opinion, that they are the disembodied spirits that we encounter a lot of the times that are looking for a home. And, you know, eventually they hope to have a physical home again, and be it through the splicing of DNA, be it through artificial intelligence, be it through whatever the devil wants to use, they probably will show up again one day. And be it if they aren't already here because of stuff that's been done in labs, stuff that maybe some of these sightings is stuff that's just bad lab stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who knows? Or it's stuff that they're just coming out because of whatever. I don't know. I absolutely don't 100% know. All I know is there's no coincidence. Like you said earlier, Isaiah, the temples in all these places, like the structure, the makeup, like they don't talk to each other. What's the chances that the pyramid, you know, there's a common denominator across the board.
Right.
And I don't believe in coincidences like that, okay?
Right.
Something knew something that was teaching everybody something.
Right.
So, and they worship these feathered gods and all of it is, I can name so many of these creatures that these people worshipped in these other areas.
Another common thing was like blood sacrifice. That was another thing. Like that was normal across the board.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, yeah.
Around the whole world.
Yeah, and that's another way that Satan brings his power completely in. But anyway, guys, I hope you have enjoyed episode 3 of that Supernatural Talk. I just wanted to come on here and talk about this. This is it. I just wanted to come sit with the guys, talk about it. And I'm very interested to see in the comment section, guys. Please comment. Comment what you think. We want to communicate with you. I will be communicating, or one of my team members will be talking with you in the chat. Let me know what you think. And anyway, I think that's all for today. We got so many good topics coming up. Make sure that you guys stay plugged in and don't miss another episode. If you're listening on any of the podcast stations, please follow. Don't miss an episode and get ready because every Tuesday we are releasing a episode of that Supernatural Talk. And of course, we'll have other stuff coming out for you too. But with that being said, are the Nephilim probably returning?
Yes.
Probably so. Yeah.
Amen.
And are we going to be able to defeat them through the power and authority of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus gets the final say. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. You understand? Jesus wins.
Amen.
And he has won. Hallelujah. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, guys, hope you've enjoyed episode 3 of that Supernatural Talk. Are the Nephilim returning? So I'll see you guys on the next episode. God bless you all. Amen.
What's up, that Supernatural Talk family? Thank you guys so much for watching and listening in to episode 3. Are the Nephilim returning? Hey, I wanted to just give you guys an opportunity to sow into all that God is doing with Apostle Daniel Adams and the Supernatural Life Ministries. If you guys see in the description, link in description below, you guys will see how you can support the show, how you can support the podcast, and all things that we do from the studio setup, cameras, to being able to host the podcast on all of our different platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Okay, so make sure you guys go to the link in the description below. It'll take you to our hosted website to either become a monthly subscriber, to give and support one time, or to make a donation of your choosing on that website. So thank you guys so much for supporting all that God is doing here with Apostle Daniel Adams and the Supernatural Life. And thank you for supporting that Supernatural Talk. We love you guys. Thank you.